Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord tonight for His blessings. Truly, the thing that I want to do is be like Jesus. I was telling Brother Frank this evening, I love my wife, and I love my children, and I love my friends, and I love the work of God. But other than that, life just ain't worth living to me. Paul said, one time that I bear you witness that in my heart there is continual sorrow. Even though serving God is joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, the inner man is full of joy and full of righteousness and full of peace. A lady said in our last meeting, she told somebody, she said, I felt it a real compliment from God. I've always made the statement that I guess I'm about the happiest man in the world. I don't look like it. But anyway, I guess that I am with all my problems and trials. The Bible said if in this life only we have hope, then there ain't nobody no more miserable than Christian people because they give up everything in this world. But we got a hope in the next life. And this lady said, you know, said, I believe that Brother Pike has got peace, that I can see peace when I look at him. And in my heart, she never diagnosed it wrong because I have. I'm a man of peace. I've got deep peace in my heart and in my soul. The Bible said, David speaking, he said, my heart is fixed in the Lord, and no evil tidings shall trouble me. And one good way that you can tell whether or not a person is really anchored in God is to see if they are easily offended. The Bible teaches they that are anchored in the Lord, nothing shall offend them. They never get offended. They might get hurt. They might get grieved. They might get upset. But they don't flop and lose their temper. And they don't act bad and act mean and those kind of things. Brother Junior, they just don't do those kind of things. They might get upset sometimes. They might speak a little loud sometimes. I do that when I'm preaching. The Bible said Jesus was angry because of the hardness of their heart. But you got peace. The song says you got peace like a river. And because you've got that peace, then you're happy in the Lord Jesus. And so then you don't have to worry. And we enter into what the Bible calls the rest of the Lord, the refreshing whereby the weary might rest. And I'm thankful tonight that I've found that rest in the Lord. The Bible teaches he that has entered into the rest of the Lord has ceased from his own works and his own labors, his own struggling. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You know, we can do something to keep our heart from being troubled. We pray, Lord, keep our heart from being troubled, but Jesus said for us not to let it be troubled. You don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of a sound mind toward God. Medical science says that we're not born with the spirit of fear. God hasn't given it to us. So if it develops, it's come from the devil. And we don't have to have it. So I thank the Lord tonight because His grace is sufficient. His attitude toward us never changes. A lot of people feel that God goes up and down like their feelings, you know. They feel that God is changeable according to their frame of mind. If they feel like they're all right with God, then they feel like God's on their side. If something happens to trouble them and they feel any other way, they feel like God isn't on their side. And they're always up and down. Up and down. But when Peter's faith was high enough for him to walk on the water, Jesus was with him. And when Peter's faith went way down to where he couldn't walk on the water, Jesus was still with him. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But lo, I'm with thee always, even unto the end of the world. So then God's attitude toward us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then the fears and frustration and the perplexities and doubts and despondences and worries and troubles and all of those things are of the evil one. And it's because we don't do the things that please God, therefore our faith goes up and down. And God cannot intervene in our life except we offer to God faith. That's the only reason that we shut Him out. It isn't because He changes toward us. He's still standing with outstretched arms. I used to go to God and pray. And the Lord spoke to me one time. I'd go and I'd say, Lord, no, now Lord, you remembered. You told me this. You promised me this. I'd just get down on my knees and I'd say, Lord, you promised me this. Don't you remember? You said so in your word. One day the Lord spoke to me and said, I'll not alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth, neither will I change it. So I'll watch over my word, and I'll hasten to perform it. He said, you're not reminding me of what I'm supposed to do to you. He said, I have a change, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the word, Jesus Christ. He doesn't change. And I come to realize that what I was doing was reminding my own individual self, see. I wasn't reminding God. I was just reminding myself that the Bible had promised me those things. The Lord Jesus never changes. He's always the same. I thank God that one day I discovered that. And when I do wrong, the Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself in those things which he allows. When I do wrong, I just go back to God and I say, Lord, you know I didn't mean to do it. I didn't do that willfully. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't my way. But Satan tripped me up. And God, I ask your forgiveness humbly, sincerely. I confess my wrongs and I confess my sins. And I ask your forgiveness, Lord. And I promise you that I'll make a special effort not to do it again. And it's always grace. Always will be grace. Now then, we thank God that Brother Joe's coming down to be with us now. I just appreciate that so much. And I feel that God's going to bless us. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Now then, faith is dead without works. It takes some fasting. It takes some prayer to stimulate faith. Just like the body is dead without the spirit, James said, so faith without stimulation is dead. And it takes works to give it stimulation. So then, let's believe God. The Bible said this is our confidence in the Lord, and what if we ask of him, receive. Because we do always those things that please him. So when we do the things that please him, we have confidence in him, which is faith. And then God answers our prayers. So then, let's pray. Let's fast. Let's invite somebody to church, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I said all along that we're going to start having some revivals. I'd love to have some conventions, but we haven't been ready for them until now. We've been so divided and so torn up that if we had had anything any sooner, it would have reproached everything. And our financial status wasn't good because the people wasn't laboring together. But I said last night we liked about $150, and of course today I needed quite a bit of money, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I had to have a tag and had to have some things for the automobile. And just about that time, Brother Frank Beretta come over, and he'd received several hundred dollars through the mail. And of course, that helped us to get everything straightened out. We appreciate the brother being considerate in the hour of his prosperity, because he considered God, then God will consider him in his cause. Don't you ever think he won't, because he will. That's right, you put him first, and I guarantee the other, I'll give you a written paper on the other. Sign my name to it. You remember him, and he'll remember you. He said, in the day of your trouble, he said, you bow unto me and call on me and see if I don't deliver you, saith the Lord. But he'll hold you till you bow afterwards. You remember how we taught about Jacob? He'll deliver you, but he'll hold you till you bow. So then we thank the Lord for it. And as I said, I don't know just how much we need, but I know we got $30. We've got to get up. We need to get this up before Joseph comes. We need to pay the $30 on the gas out here before Joe gets down here, because we want to help him in his finance when he comes down here. Remember, he's got a $25 check that I kind of lent over toward him for, that we'd take care of that $25 to help him get down here. I gave him $20 on my own, and now I gave him a $25 check, believing that you brethren would help meet that $25, which was about $45 for his coming. It's about 800 miles, and that's still running kind of close. But anyway, Brother Junior said he had $56 for us while I was over in Atlanta, Georgia. Susie cleared away something over, I don't know what it was, but he's got $56 for us, and that's going to help us clear away what little we had pending. We don't have much, but I'm counting on that, plus whatever we get from you people, to clear away what little we've got pending, that we might be able to help Brother Joseph and go on and have a meeting. See, our bills are coming right up. In other words, we are clearing everything away by the grace of God, so that you don't have to be under pressure. And I want you to think on these things now. And don't forget Joseph now. In the revival, we'll pass the offering plate around for the benefit of the brother. We won't wait for you to give it back at the door, but we're going to put the offering plate right to you for Joseph's benefit. Now, I don't do it for my benefit, but sometimes for Al Gonzalez and brethren and different ones who have special things like this, I do it for them. And I just trust God. If you want to give to me, okay. If you don't, that's still okay. And consequently, God takes care of us, don't he? So then, We appreciate that you follow the system as best that you can. Now then, if you'll turn to the book of Joshua over the 7th chapter, I'd love to talk with you a little bit tonight and see if the Lord will give us a thought here for tonight. Try not to hold you long. Maybe you can get a little rest for tomorrow night and be fresh and come back and be with us for Joseph's preaching. I feel that he'll be here tomorrow. Now, I want to say this. I'm glad that the children are kind of in line. Look like the children have been doing real well, and it's a good thing because Brother Joseph Sears is one man that believes children ought to be Johnny on the spot. Boy, them youngs has got to be right. He's got a whole slew of them, and he makes them do right, and he thinks you ought to make yours do right. So it's a good thing we kind of got them lined up before he gets down here. All right, in the book of Joshua, it said, "But the children of Israel, 7th chapter, committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zelda, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua, and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Sherem, and smote them in the going down, whereof the heart of the people melted and became as water. All right, now then, said, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth, fell to the earth, upon his face before the ark of the Lord, until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, thank you, Betty, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the families which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zerah, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man. And Zebdi was taken. And he brought his household, man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zeba, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of goodly Babylon his garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekel weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with them took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now let's read the whole 7th chapter of the book of Joshua. I want you to especially notice here tonight, the Bible teaches that God is no respecter of person. He is no respecter of person. One time Moses said to the Lord, he said, Lord, he said, just blot my name out of the book of life. The Lord said, Moses, the man that sins, he said, he is the one that I will blot his name out of the book of life. In other words, God doesn't respect human intelligence. He doesn't respect human wealth. He doesn't respect human personality. God is no respect of persons. To him, every man looks alike. He made us what we are. He gave us our appearance. He gave us our intelligence. He gave us our wealth. The Bible said God lifted up one and puts down another. I was over in Bryson, North Carolina just a few days ago. And there a Baptist preacher had been locked out of his Baptist church. And God had gotten a hold of his heart. And he was gradually turning to the message that God's giving to the bride in this last hour. And his wife began to question my children. She was standing there with bobbed hair and lipstick and looking real worldly. But knowing that she'd been in a Baptist church, you couldn't expect anything else out of her. But she really talked like she loved the Lord. And she began to ask questions concerning my children being in school. And I told her, I said, I don't place very much emphasis on education. I said, I love my children to get the basic fundamentals. I said that they might have some understanding. I said, but you don't succeed by being intellectual. I said, you're not a success in this world by knowing what people know. I said, the Bible tells us that all the gold belongs to God. All the silver belongs to God. And the cattle upon a thousand hills belongs to God. And I said, the Bible said that God raises up one. And God puts down another. And the preparation of man's heart is from God. I said, you're going to fit in the pattern wherever God wants you to fit. I told them, I said, Solomon spoke, and he said that he had saw men that were prince walking, and he saw men that were fools riding. I said, it's not a matter of how smart you are. I said, I've seen great educated men that were nothing but drunkards and roaming the streets. I said, I've seen uneducated men that God raised up and made great leaders out of them. I said, it's God that raiseth up one, and it's God that putteth down another. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And it's not up to him that runneth. It's not of him that willeth. But it's up to God that showeth mercy. And it's nothing that we can do about it. We just humble ourselves to God. And God gives more grace to the humble. And so then, when I finished talking, she said, you know, she said there's something to that. She began to speak about a certain person that she knew. And she said, I know that he went to the 10th grade in school. And said he can't even write his name. Going through 10 grades, and she said he can't even write his name. Said it was a fact that he couldn't even write his name. So the teacher just passed him on through school to get rid of him, to get him out of their class. And so then it's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but it's of God who showeth mercy. And here God speaking, he speaks here without respect to person. And the Bible said that he found that a man had went contrary to the scriptures. Brother, when you go contrary to the covenant of the Lord, there is going to be trouble at your house. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of personality you got. I don't care what you look like or how wealthy you are. When you violate the word of the Lord, there's going to be trouble over at your house. You remember that. The Bible said, if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. When your ways please God, God will make your enemies to be at peace with you. He'll make everything go right for you. I quoted the scripture today to Brother Frank coming down the road. I said, Jesus taught that if a man wanted to see good life and long years and happiness, he said, let his tongue refrain that he speak no evil. Let him refrain from guile. Let him walk upright. Like I preached over in Carolina not too long ago, God speaking in the book of Job, he said, I would that you would do the things that I commanded you to do. He said, that I might prolong your days, that I might bless you with the wealth of the world, that I might make a covenant with you, that you might do the things that pleases God and have the blessings of the Lord. And then he said, Moses, he said, I would that your people would obey me, that it might be well with them and with their children all the days of their life. God said, my covenant with you shall be that I'll take out the heart of stone, place within you a heart of flesh. And he said, I will write my laws upon the table of your heart. I will cause you to walk in my covenant. And said, this shall be my covenant with you, that my words shall not depart out of your mouth and out of your seed's mouth and out of your seed's mouth. He said, but they'll meditate in my laws day and night. Be like a tree that's planted by the water, he said. They'll bring forth their fruit in their season, and their leaves won't wither. Now, so then he tells them here in the 7th chapter of Joshua, he's speaking to them. We find that Joshua's out there. He's on his face before God, and he's grumbling and complaining. And he's saying, Lord, why am I having such a hard time? That's the same way that you do, the same way that I do. Every time some little something goes wrong, then we turn around and we say, Lord, why did you break your promise? Lord, why did you fail me, Lord? But God hasn't failed you. You fail God. If something's going wrong, you fail God. If you're backsliding, you fail God. It's not God. If you're hungry, it's because you fail God. If there's trouble in the camp, it's because you fail God. It isn't because God failed you. And so then Joshua, having been a great leader, having been with Moses and saw the blessings of God, here he turns, he falls down on his face and he cries, oh God, why are we having trouble? Now I want you to get a picture of this tonight. God had just anointed Joshua as a great general. He had just raised up a great army under Joshua. And he said, Joshua, he said, one will put 1,000 to flight and 2 will put 10,000. He said, your enemies will be my enemies. And though they come out against you one way, I'll make them flee 7 ways before you. And Joshua just wrought the great battle of Jericho. He had just come up to Jericho and the walls were filled with the alien powers. But Joshua, anointed of God, he walked right past the enemy and triumphed in the walls of Jericho. Toppled right down at the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because he was in the midst of the people. They were serving God. They were walking upright before God. Brother, when they began to sin against God, the Lord took his flight. I remember right here in this church, when this church was filled up with people, and God was moving in the midst of them. I remember when God was blessing this church, and the Holy Spirit was moving. I remember when revival came to this church. God gave a touch from heaven because the people was fasting and the people were praying and God was moving by his power and by his spirit, and souls was converted and people was healed. Right here in this church and right around in this area, they were having tent revivals. But brother, they don't have those tent revivals now. Oh, they set up a tent a time or two, but it wasn't anything to it. They've got a little building over here a time or two, but there wasn't anything to it. There wasn't a real revival in the midst of them. Why? Because they're not living right. Brother, you can't shout over sin. You can't speak in tongues over sin. You can't dance sin away. You've got to repent of your sins and clean your heart before God. And then God will touch you and come in your midst. And God will give you a victory. The reason we've not had any more victory right around here than we have is because some of you have been trying to live right over your sins. Some of you have been trying to cover your sins. The Bible said, he that covereth his sins will not prosper. He will not prosper spiritually. Nor financially, he won't prosper. Why? Because now if you're out here in the world, if you're out here and you're cold and in the world, if you're a sinner, you don't know nothing about God, then the Bible said the wicked of this world prosper. But when you line up with God, you don't prosper unless you walk right. And so it is here in this church. A lot of you have covered up things in your heart. You've covered up things in your soul. You said things, but you didn't confess those things. And God has looked down from heaven and saw your wrong. He saw your evil. He saw the thoughts of your heart. He saw the intents of your heart. And you're not live right. And because of that, we haven't had victory in the camp like we need to have in the camp. And so then here, God wrought a great victory by Joshua. They had had a wonderful time. The Holy Spirit had come down. They had sang the songs of Zion, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. But brother, I want you to know, when they sinned against God, then the Spirit of the Lord fell. And the Bible says it's not by power. It's not by might. He said, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I tell you, a lot of times we have a great victory. A lot of times we get something, and it looks like we're really getting along pretty good. And then we leave God out of the picture. And we get to thinking about our intellectual ability. We get to thinking about our personality. We get to thinking about what we can do. And then when we do, God begins to cut us down again. That's right, it never fails. He told Saul, he said, Saul, when you was just a little old fella out there, he said, when you was just a little bitty timid thing, he went off and hid himself among the luggage. He said, I took and I raised you up and I made you a king over Israel. He said, and you wasn't even sufficient within yourself to even have the what we call the intestinal fortitude to face the world, let alone be a king. He said, but I took you. He said, I raised you up. He said, I gave you an anointing. And the people looked on you as a prophet, looked on you as a king. He said, but after I raised you up, you begin to think about your own ability. Brother, let me tell you something. This world is before God. And this world has come up in the eyes of God. Sodom and Gomorrah sinned so much until the Bible said their sins came up before God. You can sin so much till your sins will come up before God. I remember the Bible said Cornelius prayed so much until his prayers came up as a memorial before God. And he said to the angel, he said, go down there and reward Cornelius. And it's the same way with sin. They sin so much in Sodom and Gomorrah until the evil come up, and God said, I must go down and see if this is altogether such as they tell me it is. Brother, when God pays your personal visit, then I tell you, it's time to get stirred up. A lot of people won't even give to God or give to God's people unless God has to come and personally speak to them. When you get in such a bad shape that you have to wait for God to make a personal visit to tell you to do something, you're getting in bad shape. The Word of God tells you what to do. Obey it. When Balaam got in such a condition that God had to come down and speak to him, he was in bad shape. He had done gone too far then. But let us do according to the will of God. And so then, the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah came up before God. And the sins of America is coming up before the Lord in this hour in which we live. The sins of this world is rising up in the presence of Almighty God. He's looking down. He's peeping through the windows of glory. He's saying in his heart, I've got to go down. I've got to go down. Brother, he stayed on his throne. He stayed in the realms of glory. He never messed with this world until Sodom and Gomorrah lived so wickedly. And then the hour of judgment came. And God said, I must go down. When God comes, it means judgment. And he's looking down. He's had reports from the angels. He's had reports from the ministers. He's saying, watchmen, what of the night? And the prophet said, I'll stand upon my watch. And I'll see what I'll answer to God when I'm reproved of him. I'll answer back and tell him what's going on in this world. And so then he's saying, watchmen, what of the night? And the elect is crying night and day unto God. And God is looking down and he's saying, I must go down and see if it's all together the way that they told me. God loves to see things for himself. One day Nebuchadnezzar walked through his temple. He walked through his great cathedral. God took him and raised him up. Made him a great ruler. He was more powerful than any ruler in the land. Every alien power that rolled up against him, God subdued them. and God overcame them. But one day Nebuchadnezzar began to walk through the temple, and the Bible said he looked at the beautiful thing on the wall, and he looked at the beautiful paintings, the beautiful vessels of gold, and he said, look what my hands has got for me. He said, look what I've been able to do. Look at my ability. What king in the world is greater than I am? He walked through the temple with great conceit, with great pride. And about that time, God looked down from heaven, and the hand of God began to rise and speak to him. And God said to him, he said, thou shalt be driven out of thy palace, and ye shall be driven into the fields like the wild beast. And said, while you're out there, the dew drops from heaven will fall upon you. He said, and your hair will grow out like feathers, and your fingernails like claws, until you look toward God's heaven and know that God raiseth up one and putteth down another. Until you give glory to God and acknowledge that God is the all-powerful one. The Bible said instantaneously, he lost his sense of reasoning. He lost his sense of balance. His understanding departed, and he was driven in the wilderness. And the Bible said he stayed there until God came to him after many, many weeks and months and maybe years. Come to him. God restored his mind. He lifted up his eyes toward heaven. Somebody, the Bible said an angel swept through the air and said, it said, cut down the tree, but it shall leave the stump until seven times it's passed over and satisfied the decree of the watchers. The Bible said it went down. Then one day the Lord passed along that trail again, and he looked over, and Nebuchadnezzar was out there, right in the dew of the night, right with the beast. And then all of a sudden his mind was restored, and he looked up to heaven and he said, glory to God. He said, glory to God who raiseth up one and putteth down another. He said, God is the one that has the glory. God is the one to do it. And the Bible said the men began to come and look for their king. He was cleaned up and washed up, and God took him and set him on the throne and made him the great ruler again. I tell you something, America, when she came over here, she fled from the old country, and she come here pleading with God. She come here and said, God, help us. She said, God, if you'll help me, I'll stand by you. God gave her a nation. God gave her a country. God gave her great and mighty men who were leaders. And now then she's become independent. She's become corrupt. She's become a land of sodomites. She's become a land of rock and rolls. She's become a land of beetles. And every unclean and hateful bird is in her. The Bible said she's a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And God is drawing his people out of her to take them away into a world where they can live in a land of purity and righteousness. Their sins has come up before God, and they're walking through the great temples, and they're walking through the great cathedrals, and great powers of intellect is saying, look what we've done. Who is like unto America? Who has the intelligence of America? Tell me who can do the things that we've done. Every country has had to bow to us. God is on the verge of knocking at her door. God is standing there as a great judge. Now that she's lifted herself way up, God is going to walk right in the midst of her. God is going to declare that thy kingdom shall be no longer. The time of this world shall be no longer. But the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the living God. And she's going to shake and she's going to tremble. And the Bible said she'll throw money to the bats. She'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall upon her and hide her from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Why? Because she's done her evil. The Bible said that Joshua was down on his face. He was complaining. He was grumbling. Oh, when the wars began to start, when the enemy comes out against us and we began to retreat and relinquish in our spirit, then we began to say, Lord, we realize that we sinned against thee. Joshua got down on his face and he said, God, He said, what did you do this for? What did you let me down for? He said, you brought us out of Egypt just to die at the hands of our enemies. Oh, the wrath of God was beginning to be kindled. And the angel of the Lord went over to Joshua. And he said, Joshua, get up off of your face. He said, wasn't I with Moses? Wasn't I with the patriarchs of old? Didn't I give them victory? He said, Joshua, did I ever fail you? He said, Joshua, I haven't done wrong. I haven't altered my word. I haven't let you down. He said, it's you. He said, there's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. Now then listen. When we began to relinquish, when we began to retreat, when we began to get away from our enemy and have to back up, there's sin in the camp. The Bible said the righteous is bold as a lion. He's bold as a lion. Why? Because he doesn't have anything covered. There's nothing that's covered that won't be brought to the light. The Bible said what's done in the dark will be shouted from the housetops. If you've got nothing covered, you're bold as a lion. Somebody said the other night, so the police is out there and he got all shook up and all frightened. I said, well, so what? I don't mean nothing. I said, I ain't done nothing wrong. I ain't worried about it. Why? If the Bible said the wicked flee when no man pursue it, but the righteous is bold as a lion. He hasn't got anything to hide. He doesn't have to run. He doesn't have to retreat. Praise God. When you come before the throne of grace, the Bible said, come boldly that you can receive help in the time of need. And brother, when you come relinquishing, you come up there like this, you come fearful and afraid, you come under condemnation, the Bible said you ain't going to get nothing from God. But when you walk up there and say, Lord, you said you'd help me. You've made me righteous by the blood of your Son. You've cleansed my heart. And you've made me pure. Now, Lord, I come before the throne of grace. In the time of need, I want some help. And brother, you'll get it. You'll get it. So then, God said, Joshua, the accursed thing is in the camp. Let me hurry along here. Did you know the America has taken of the accursed thing? She was a religious nation, but she's took of the accursed things. And like I said, she's become a filthy nation. Our churches is a cage of unclean and hateful birds. The Bible said the voice of the bridegroom won't be heard no more in her. The voice of the trumpets of the master's voice of preaching won't be heard no more in her. All of the power of God, all of the people of God, all of the word and spirit of God will be taken away from her. She'll be stripped of her talents and God will rapture the church away. She's become a cage of evil birds. She's partook of the accursed thing. America's nothing more than just a low-down, filthy garbage can. That's all she is. She's a low-down, filthy garbage can. And every country in the world is throwing their garbage over here. That's right. I looked up there today as we drove around and nothing but filthy women in their filthy, lewd mold of dressing. Filthy and unclean and wretched and blind and naked. Naked more ways than one. Filthy. What is it? It's become a land of lewdness. Every man is turned to his own way. Bible said every man looks to his own quarter for his own gain. Nobody seeks God anymore. Nobody wants God anymore. Nobody wants the knowledge of the Lord anymore. I made a statement the other night. I read the statistics of how that America was religious 10 years ago. She loved religion. But statistics showed in the papers every year how much it had dropped and come way down until she hardly cared anything about religion anymore. You go to some of these stock car races I passed by and multiplied hundreds of thousands of people are crowded in there so that I'd be afraid even, there's so many people, I would even be afraid to be in the midst of them. Be afraid I'd get trampled to death. So many people. Passing by the places over in Indiana where the big stock car races is, over in Carolina where Five Old Robertson was killed over there, the places where they're at, passing by them, and the people just jam like flies. God's getting them into those big arenas so he can just slay them. He can just slay them. He can just literally move and slay them by the thousands. But he's drawing a little elect out of it. What is it? She's partook of the accursed thing. What is the accursed thing? It's the carnal mind. That's what it is. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God. He that's carnal minded can't please God. They that are in the flesh can't please God. It's that mind that Satan put yonder. In the garden, he put it in mankind. He stirred it up. It's the accursed thing. It's the mind of the serpent. It's the mind of education. It's the mind of human reasoning. When the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Knowledge him in all of thy ways, and he'll direct thy path. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. When you get intellectually smart, you think about what you can do and what you've done. But when you turn to God, you think about what God can do. And you give God glory. Amen. Now, what is it? They partook of the accursed thing. What's happening? They're turning every man to his own way. They're hungry for the things that the carnal mind tells them to do. And what does the carnal mind tell them to do? Everything that's contrary to God. Everything that's contrary to evangelism. Everything that's contrary to feeding the poor and helping the widows and the orphans. Everything that's contrary to keeping yourself unspotted from the filth of the world. You partake of the accursed thing. You got it in the midst of you. It's working in the midst of you. Sin and corruption. Evil. Lust. Because you reject the mind of the Lord and don't like to retain God in their knowledge. He said, what did he say? He said, in the last days they'd be lovers of self more than lovers of God. Heady, high-minded, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that do good. He said, they have the last days. What is it? It's a carnal mind because they did not like to retain the knowledge of God in their mind. He gave them up to unclean things, turned them over to reprobate mind, and now they're a religious group that believes they're on their way to heaven when they're on their way to hell. They partook of the accursed things. Folks, I'm going to close right here. Well, let me say this one thing. That when we get the accursed thing out of the midst of us, when we kill the carnal mind and turn away from the things that the carnal mind desires, and when we kill out the flesh, God will be in our midst. God will be in our midst. You can't worship God with no carnal mind. You can't worship God with that old doubt and filthy mind of carnality. But David said, stir up the mind of Christ, which is your pure mind. Stir up your pure mind to the Lord. We got a pure mind. You can't be double-minded. You'll be unstable in all of your ways. The Bible said that man won't receive anything of God. One day in the carnal mind, you're designed to think the world. The very next day, you're in the mind of Christ. And you're designed to think the Lord. Continual warfare between those two minds, between the flesh and between the spirit, the outer man, the inner man. It don't ever stop. When you stop warring and fighting and praying, then the outer man overcomes the inner and puts him into bondage. There's a continual warfare. If you're double-minded, you want the world one day and you want Jesus the next day. The Bible said that man is double-minded. He's unstable in all of his ways. Said, don't let him think he's going to receive anything of God. Why? Because he wants God's way one day. The next day he wants his own way. And when he gets to want his own way, forget about God's way. You can't do that. You can't do that. You've got to want God's way all the time. If we come to church and we get stirred up in the Lord and we want God's way, and in as quick as we get back out yonder, somebody else stirs us up into things of the world. Out talks us and Satan out smarts us. And the accursed mind takes us into captivity. We're not going to have anything from God. Brother, you got to sell out. You got to sell out. I sold out to God years ago. Not my will, but thy will be done, Jesus. I sold out to God. And I intend to stay sold out to God. I don't intend to look back into Egypt. I don't intend to turn around and look back into Sodom and Gomorrah. I intend to keep my eyes on Jesus, as the song says.